Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for He is good and His mercy endures forever. Thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message, The Pearl of Great Price. And while there are perhaps different ways of looking at that, we've chosen to have the perspective that we are the pearl of great price that Jesus went after, as the reference in Matthew talks about, and that we are the pearl that Jesus left and sold everything he had, if you will. He was that merchant man and left the glories of heaven to redeem us to himself. We are his peculiar treasure, a royal diadem in his hands. In the day that he makes up his jewels, he'll be taking each one of us, and we'll be there with the glorious King of glory. Praise God. Well, we've been talking about the different categories of pearls, and as I share occasionally, if you would like to, if you ever miss a broadcast, and if you I can't retrace all the steps, but there was the natural pearl, the cultured pearl, and then we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close by looking at imitation pearls, which are readily recognizable. And they're basically glass beads. There's nothing wrong with them as far as jewelry. They're not anywhere near the value or price of true cultured or natural pearls, but they're, for those who have eyes to see, they're easily recognizable. They're actually glass beads that have holes drilled in them so they can be strung as a necklace. And there's a substance that is like a pearl essence where they will put around that glass bead, but a little of that pearl essence surrounds the hole. There's a little flap, and you can see that if you look real closely. And so as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were applying that in terms of spiritual context, that it doesn't take long to find out where the Word of God has not covered or where it didn't take in the lives of some people. Beloved, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, there are a lot of imitations out there. There are literally wolves in sheep clothing. It's hard for us who are real sheep to understand how that could be, that somebody would actually take pleasure and delight in being a wolf, trying to act like a sheep. But wolves are very dangerous. They kill sheep, and that's true spiritually. They're basically, an imitation Christian, if you will. They have little essence of being a true Christian. Before long, that pearl essence begins to peel off, and the old regenerate nature begins to rule again, or they just don't cover very well. And basically, there's many references in the scripture, but they're like spots on your love feast. And let's just, I'm going to turn over to Jude. And he talks, it's not a long epistle, but he says in that very first chapter, in fact, the only chapter of it, to contend for the faith. And then in verse 4, he said, why should we do that? Because there are certain men crept in unawares, you weren't aware of it, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They are ungodly men, turning the grace of God, it's called cheap grace, into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, I'll skip these few verses. He says, he makes a comparison to Sodom and Gomorrah, to the angels of Genesis 6 who left their first estate. But in verse 8, he said, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They despise dominion or authority, if you will, and they speak evil of dignities of those who are of higher stature than them. And to give a contrast, now we don't know much about this except Jude does talk about it. Because, you know, it's interesting when you read about Moses, when the Lord said you can't go into Canaan, the promised land, but you can see it. He took him up on the mountain, but then it says he was buried in a valley that nobody knows of. But what we see in verse 9, Michael the archangel, he was contending with the devil. He disputed about the body of Moses, but he didn't bring against Satan. And if anyone had a right to, Michael would, I guess, the leading, goodness sakes, the archangel of Israel. He didn't bring a railing accusation, but he simply said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But those who are wolves in sheep clothing, those who are spots on your love feasts, are those, they speak evil of those things they don't know anything about. What they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they're gone in the way of Cain. Remember, he was one of the literal sons of Adam and Eve, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. Those latter two references, Balaam was a prophet of God. He spoke a true prophecy over Israel. He couldn't curse him, but he spoke a true prophecy. And that the gainsaying of Kore, they remember that they spoke against Moses and they were swallowed alive into the pit. These are spots on your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Well, we don't have to go on. I think you get the picture. But that is an example of those who are imitation. Beloved, we are freely forgiven in Christ. And, you know, the next time you make a mistake, or the next time someone tries to tell you that being a Christian means you're perfect without faults, unable to make mistakes or sin, remember, Jesus fills your house with his presence. He accepts you as you are. If your heart is after God, if you love him, it is God working in you to will and to do after his good pleasure. He will enable you to become what he wants you to be. He will perfect that which concerns you. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of salvation. He is doing that work. Not because, you know, someone made you do it, not because, you know, it's his strength or your strength, but it's the Spirit of the living God that has made you a new creature. And so, while the natural pearls or the cultural pearls are pearls of great value in his sight, we have to understand that there are fake pearls out there, imitation pearls, but he is the master, what? Craftsman, the jeweler, he knows the real from the imitation. And beloved, you are of great value. You are that pearl of great price. And you might say, well, Sister Glass, sometimes you probably get so discouraged. I don't know about you, but sometimes I do. It's like you may have habits, things that you just do over and over, and you determine you're not going to do that again, and sure enough, you do it. And you may have discovered in yourself what seemed to be many evidences of the dominion of sin. You know, at times you might be angry or resentful. You may lose your temper. You may say something you know a Christian shouldn't say. But what does Paul say in Romans 6:14? Remember, he identified very much with that law of sin operating in his members. He said, things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then in that very next verse, in the next breath, he says, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. But Romans 6:14 says, for sin will have no dominion over you. Can you slip? Can you fall? Can you slide? Yes, but it does not dominate you, since you are not under law, but under grace. God is looking at your heart. And this passage promises that sin will not have dominion over you or over me. What Paul, and I want you to listen to me real close right now, what Paul is actually saying here, what he's really saying is this. When we sin, we simply have to realize, we have to recognize that sin, that failure, has to be accepted as a confirmation of God's verdict that we are truly sinners. We are sinners that are saved, redeemed to the uttermost by grace. In Christ, beloved, it's not a negative, I'm not going to leave you in a negative place because Scripture doesn't, Jesus doesn't. We have hope. We are new creatures. We can have help. We can grow from our failures. We can learn from our mistakes. And we can become, what the Scriptures say, more than conquerors. You know, instead of justifying our wrong actions, instead of just saying, oh, well, you know, it's not a big deal, it's just who I am, we can't make excuses for them. We simply need to repent of them and allow God, as we are, listen, we're either a natural plural or a cultured plural. We have to allow the Lord to peel off those flaws. Beloved, God's generous, unlimited grace pardons our sin and invites us to accept the full extent of His righteousness. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Beloved, this is the New Testament way of destroying the power of sin in our Christian experience. I'm going to just say that again. This is what Scripture tells us. Under grace, under that new covenant, under the era of grace in which we now live, it is His grace, His forgiveness that destroys the power of sin in your life. Praise God. Well, beloved, I think that's a very positive and good way to end this broadcast. And with the Lord's help, I believe we just might be able to bring this message to a conclusion. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. I love you, and I do pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.